The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Well, greetings today. This is Steve Clark. And yesterday I started in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. We read those verses, and then today's reading is from John chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. And it's a story about this man who was born blind and who Jesus healed, and this was quite a miracle, because no one, according to the scriptures we'll see later on, that no one had ever been born blind and that was healed. And there was a couple points that I made yesterday, and the first one was, is that not all sickness is the result of our sin or our parents' sin. And this wasn't a sickness in a sense, this was a blindness or an infirmity, but I think it still holds true that it wasn't the result of this their sins. Now, it doesn't mean that they weren't sinners, but their sickness or this man's blindness wasn't the result of anyone's sin, but that the works of God may be made manifested. And the other point that I made here in this yesterday was that this man did not heal himself. He was healed by the power of God, by the power of Jesus Christ. But he was also told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And if he hadn't have washed, he wouldn't have been healed, because it was... he obeyed Christ's command, and he went and washed, and he came back seeing. If he hadn't have gone to the pool of Siloam, if he would have just washed his eyes out with some water that he had close by, I don't think he would have been healed. I don't think he would have been healed if he hadn't have gone to wash. But it wasn't he didn't heal himself, but he was healed through the power of God. And I made a point there yesterday that in the same way, we're not saved. We can't save ourselves, but we do have things that Christ tells us to do. We need to obey, just like this man. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. Another point that I didn't make real clear yesterday, but I think should be made clear out of the first section, was in chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the point that I'd like to make, which I did mention yesterday, that Jesus said he is the light of the world, and now he tells us to be the light of the world. But the night cometh when no man can work. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, there was a time came when he died he died and rose again from the dead, and then he ascended up into heaven. But there was a time when he wasn't on this earth, just like he is now. He wasn't on this earth walking around speaking to people and touching people in a physical sense like that. And it's going to be the same way with us. Our days are numbered. We don't know when it is that we're going to die. We don't know how long we have left, but I believe that we should be very, we should be very diligent in witnessing to others and telling others about Christ and what he's done in our lives. And because there is a time when we won't be able to do that, when we are under the the ground 6 feet, and we're no longer able to witness to our neighbors or our friends or our relatives or do good deeds to people. There's a time coming when no man can work. And so I think that's a good thing for us to do. We should be reminded that we do have a time when that will be our last day on this earth. And we don't know when that time is, but we should be diligent to do the work of God. All right, well, for today's reading here, the neighbors, in verse 8 it says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? When the master touches our lives, when the master of the universe, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when God the Father, when the Holy Spirit, when he touches our life and he changes us, he heals us, he does something for us, the neighbors and those which saw us before are going to wonder, is this even him? You know, there's a difference. If there hasn't been a difference in your life from the time you were running around and living for yourself and now, if there isn't a difference in your life, I just wonder what if there's really been a change, if there's really salvation come to your heart, come to your life. In this case, the people knew that there was a difference in this man. Here he was seeing, and he was walking around, and he wasn't all gloomy and whatever like he used to be, but he was excited, and he even said, I am he. I am the one that was born blind, but now I see. And they even kind of wondered, is this guy even telling the truth? Maybe he just looks like this same guy. But so our neighbors and our those who knew us before in our past will notice that there's a difference in our lives when the master touches us. And they will ask us questions. In this case, the question was, in verse 10, how were thine eyes opened? And then he goes through the story. He tells the story, and I think it's important for us that we tell our story, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. That's the most, one of the most powerful testimonies, or one of those most powerful things we can say is what Jesus Christ has done in our life. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. So don't be ashamed to tell your story of what Jesus has done for you. Don't have a closed lip. Open your mouth and tell what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And tell it over and over again what the Lord Jesus has done for you, even on a daily basis, what he showed you in the scriptures and what you're reading, what you're hearing. Don't be ashamed of what the Lord is doing in your life. This is a point I think we can draw from this. This man wasn't ashamed, and he told his story. Tell your story, and it'll be a blessing to others. And in this story, I want us to go back to what we talked about yesterday about this man saving himself. How was this man healed? Well, let me ask this question. Was Jesus able to heal him without him washing in the pool of Siloam? I believe he was. I don't think Jesus would have been limited, for that water there to have him wash in that. But he gave him a command to go and wash. I believe it was a command that he had to exercise his faith in Christ, and he exercised his faith. He obeyed, and he washed in the pool of Siloam, and he received his sight. This man did not heal himself. He may have washed in the pool of Siloam many times, washed his face. I don't know. But it wasn't his works that saved him. It was Christ and then obeying what Christ said to do. And Jesus, with salvation, this is oftentimes people say, well, it's only by faith that we're saved, and so that we can be, if we just believe in Jesus, then we can be saved. But he tells us more than just believe. He tells us to repent of our sins. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. He tells us to repent, and he tells us to obey. And I just wanted to read a few verses here today about this subject here. In 1 John 2, 3 through 6, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So three times in this passage, in these three verses, or four verses, verses 3 through 6, it says that something about keeping his commandments. It says, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then, if we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and that we know that we are in him. He that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Seems like there's a progression there. Knowing him, we know him, we'll keep his commandments. And then the next is abiding in him, and the next is walking even as he walked. And so these are things that Jesus tells us to do, to keep his commandments. We will know him. You know, there's many others here, and I'll just pick out a few. If we abide in Christ's love, we'll have fullness of joy. In John 15, verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So here we are to keep his commandments, and by doing that, we're abiding in his love, even as Jesus kept his Father's commandments and abided in the Father's love. Here's another one out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, it's talking about our prayers will be answered. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, our prayers will be answered when we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We will also love others. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's 1 John 5, verse 2 through 3. His commandments are not grievous, but we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And Christ will be our friend. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We'll also have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to him that obey him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So both these verses, and both these passages, Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and John chapter 14, verses 15 through 16, talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he comes into our lives through our obedience to Christ and keeping his commandment. Anyway, there's a lot more I could give you on this subject, But I just wanted to point out a few there. I encourage you to look that up in your concordance about keeping his commandments and obeying what Jesus said, and see all the things that are connected to that. And here this man, he didn't heal himself. It wasn't his power that healed him, anything like that. Jesus healed him, but he also told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he would receive his sight. And so he obeyed, and he washed. And if he hadn't have done that, he wouldn't have received his sight, I don't believe. And also, with these things that I read today, we do well if we keep his commandments. And we're not going to be able to keep them perfectly, but we can also repent and ask God to forgive us and ask God to help us to keep his commandments. And he will do that, and he will give us power and strength to be able to walk even as Jesus walked. So God bless you today. Thank you for listening. And Lord willing, we're going to continue in the story here of this blind man who received his sight through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.